Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4. Again, I do want to thank everyone for being here this morning. Thank you, visitors, for coming. We don't take it lightly. We understand you could have gone anywhere this morning. You chose to come here. We thank you for that. Members, we thank you for being in your place. Again, same thing. You could have joined yourself somewhere else, but you've chose to be here. We thank you for that. We don't take for lightly, take for granted anyone that's here this morning. Matthew chapter 4 is where we're at. Sorry, I had to put those down. They were bugging me. Matthew chapter number 4. Look at verse number 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the truths of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, just for an opportunity to be able to be in your church today. Thank you for your people being here and being faithful. I know some weren't able to make it due to various reasons. But, Lord, you have here who you want to be here this morning. We know that. We ask that you teach us something from your Word. Lord, we're so unworthy to be able to come and stand before your presence. We sang about that this morning, multiple songs. The old rugged cross, the things that you've suffered for us, the fact that we can stand before you redeemed as a child again, a child of God. But Lord, there's a work you have for us to do, and we're going to preach on that this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to your people. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me power, give boldness. I pray that you'd hide me behind your cross. May your will be done. And I pray, Lord, the truths that are given this morning will be enlightening. And I pray, Lord, there would be something that would stick to our hearts and change our lives. We ask the same in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Again, Matthew chapter 4 is where we're at. I apologize. I got a little cough going on this morning. We endured it in Sunday school and got a little tickle going on. Forgive me. But we're going to get to preaching the Word of God this morning. The title of the message is, if you're not following God, it's because, if you're not fishing for men, it's because you're not following God. If you follow God, you will become a fisher of men. We see that here in the Bible. Go to verse 17 again. From that time, Jesus began to preach. So Jesus Christ is starting his earthly ministry here. If you'll go back to Matthew chapter number 3, you'll find this is where Jesus Christ got baptized there at the end of Matthew chapter 3. He went to John the Baptist. By the way, the Baptist was not John's last name. It was his practice. It's what he did. It was his beliefs. It was the things that drove him. And by the way, again, that's why we're Baptists. But moving on, chapter number 4 starts with Jesus Christ being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. By the way, Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God knew that he would be tempted while he was there. That tells me that the Spirit of God is not going to take you to a place where he will not guide you while you're there. Now here he was taken to the wilderness and the devil was going to tempt Jesus Christ as an example for us on how we can endure the temptations that come our way. We can only endure them through the Spirit of God. And we see that here in Matthew chapter number 4. And you'll see after he leaves, in verse number 11 of chapter 4, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Talking about the fact that God will send ministering angels in your life when you go through trials, when you go through heartaches, when you go through certain circumstances, and the world may not be able to understand why you may have joy, and why you may have peace, and why you may have sweet serenity in the trials that you are facing, but you can rest assured in the fact that you know the Spirit of God is with you, and God has sent some angels to minister to you during that time and during those trials. But it was after this that Jesus had gone and started his ministry. In verse 17, from that time, this is after John the Baptist gets imprisoned. And so the one that had just baptized Jesus Christ is now in prison because of the things that he was doing. Jesus Christ then takes up that very mantle and he goes and he preaches the same repentance that John the Baptist was preaching. Now, just because there's persecution, by the way, after the temptation of the devil and after the devil left, there was still persecution in Jesus' life. There's going to continue to be persecution in your life. But notice what he tells him to do. He begins to preach repentance. He says, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to go out into the world. We need to preach repentance as well, just as Jesus Christ did. And what does he do in verse 18? And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting their net in the sea, for they were fishers. So first, I want you to notice here in the passage, first thing I want you to notice is the passage that we're reading. And this is the passage of Scripture where Jesus Christ begins His earthly ministry. Look at verse 19. And He saith unto them, He sees the brothers, He sees them doing the work that they were commissioned to do, the work that they had trained to do. They were in their job, they were in their vocation, doing what they knew to do. Verse 19, He saith unto them, follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. Notice, it says, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Understand that we, as believers, as born-again children of God, we are to follow Christ. That is our job. That is our responsibility. The Bible says, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. We do the following. God does the making. So in our lives, if we follow God like He tells us to, if we follow the commands that God has given us, God will begin to mold us, and God will begin to shape us into what He wants us to be. What does He want us to be? Fishers of men. You saw it in verse 19, right? Follow Me, and what will God do? I will make you fishermen. Listen, all throughout your Bible, you'll find there are times where it will be your move, and then it will be God's move. Not, poor illustration, but it's kind of like a chess game. Anybody like chess? Maybe not chess. Maybe like checkers. Who likes checkers? All right, okay. Chess is too technical. All right, I understand. It's like a board game. You move, and then the opponent moves, right? Well, in this case, God is not your opponent, all right? But in life, you move, and then God will move. See, a lot of times, God wants us to make a move so that He can then make a move. The Bible says, draw nigh to Me, and what will He do? And I will draw nigh to you. That's what He said in the book of James. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not of thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And then what does it say? And He shall direct thy paths. There are things that you must do, and then there are things that God will do. Okay? So, here we see in the passage, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, follow Me, is what He says, and I will make you fishers of men. So if we begin to follow God, God will begin to mold us, God will begin to shape us, God will begin to make us into what He wants us to become. Our job is to follow. His job is to make. We do not make ourselves. You see, in the ministry, in the house of God, in the work of God, there are no self-made Christians anywhere in the work of God. You are here because somebody else invested in you. I am here today because somebody else invested in me. I didn't just wake up one morning saved. That's not how it works. Somebody had taken the time to share the gospel message with me. And somebody had taken the time to teach me and to show me the Word of God, just like in your life. Somebody took the time to bring you the gospel. Somebody took the time to invite you to church. Somebody took the time to share with you the good grace of God. There are no self-made people in the work of God. But understand here, this is a blanket call to everybody. He speaks specifically, yes, to Simon and to Andrew. But it was a blanket call to everybody. He says, follow Me. This is a promise to every one of us that if we follow God, God will make us a fisher of man. We'll break that down here in just a moment. But God wants everybody to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Go with me. Hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold your place here. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. God wants everybody to be saved. Amen. Not only does God want everybody to be saved, God wants to use each and every one of us to do His work. God wants to use each and every one. God gets His work done here on earth by the people that He has in His church. That's how God gets His work done. Yes, He can miraculously do anything. We understand that. He is the creator of the universe. He can do whatever He wants to do. But God chooses to use us. You say, how do you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 18, and then we'll skip down. Verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. When we preach the Word of God, we're going to show you the Word of God. We're not going to show you our opinions. Why? Because we understand the power of God comes from the Word of God. Go down to verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren. Here Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. We'll have the verses on the monitor for you as well. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You look around your church, we don't have a lot of rocket scientists in here. Is anybody one that I don't know about? No? Okay. Not many wise men after the flesh. Rocket scientists, that'd be a pretty wise person in the flesh, right? Because a lot of times what happens is when people are ever learning, they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I think 2 Timothy chapter 3 as well. Not many mighty. Anybody won the World's Strongest Man competition? I know Brother Jordan and Brother Brendan are pretty close. But has anybody won the World's Strongest Man competition lately? No? Not yet? Okay. Not many mighty. How about not many noble? Do we have any governors or anybody of any foreign nobility here? Yeah, raising your hand in the back. Okay, he's a king, don't you know? Teenagers, what are you going to do with them? Not many noble are called. We don't have a lot of royalty in church. Okay? Why? Because they've advanced themselves to believe that they are above needing God. There's a lot of people in the world like that. But notice what the Bible says. Verse 27. But God hath chosen, don't miss your Bible when you read your Bible, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, there are rocket scientists that cannot wrap their head around the virgin birth because they're trying to explain it away. They won't believe it by faith. God's chosen foolish things to confound the wise. It's perplexing. It's confounding. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God uses those who are weak in themselves. Why? So he can make himself strong in them. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that. Because Paul even struggles with it. And he asked God to remove a thorn in his flesh. And then he realized, when I am weak, then God is made strong in my life. You see, if you did everything in your own strength, you wouldn't need God. But God allows you to be weak. Why? So you can rely on him. So you can trust in him. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised. You ever felt like you've been despised by the world? You ever felt like you didn't get what was coming to you? Yeah, God's chosen that. Those people who have been based. Those people who have been rejected by society. Those people who nobody wants anything to do with. Yeah, God's chosen that. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Because when God does something great and somebody who doesn't expect it, they give all the glory to God. Because there's nobody else to give glory to. They realize they could not have done that on their own. They realize it was only by the power of God. That's what God's chosen. But verse 30, look. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You understand, God's going to use people to get his work done. What kind of people is God going to use? I got three simple ones written down. Those that are there. You're here this morning. God wants to use you. Those that are thankful. You know, if you're thankful for the fact that God's working in your heart and life, God's going to be willing to use you. Why? Because you'll give him praise and glory. Also, those who are teachable. That means those who have realized they don't know everything. And you know what? I don't know everything either. None of us know everything. And we get to the point to where we think we know everything, then God's not going to be able to use us because we're no longer teachable. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. God uses people to do his work. God wants everyone to be saved. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. This is God's desire. This is God's goal. Understand, God wants everyone to be saved. God wants to use you in the life of other people around you. But also understand, God does his work in this world through the church. That's why God has you here this morning. Why? So you can learn what to do for him. That's why God has us here. So we can learn what God wants us to do for him. This is the passage. Secondly, I want you to notice the principle. We see the passage here. Now, notice the principle. Everything that we do with and for men must be preceded by our time with God. Let me say it again. Everything that you do with man and for man must be preceded by time with God. See, you're not going to make a difference in anybody's life if you've not spent any time with God. Why? Because he's the one that's got all power.
He says, all power is given unto me. And then he says, go ye therefore. Take your Bibles. Go to Mark chapter 3. Let me show you. Go to Mark chapter 3. Again, we're not preaching man's opinions around here. I want you to see it from the Bible. Mark chapter 3. You can hold yourself there at Matthew 4. We'll go back to it. Mark chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. This is again where Jesus Christ chooses his 12. It says, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And notice what happened. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12. Notice the next phrase. That they should be with him. He ordained 12. That they should be with him. Then what did he do? And that he might send them forth to preach. And to have power in the next verse. What was the first thing he ordained them to do though? Answer me. To be with them. To be with him. He ordained them first to be with him. You see, when God saved you, God didn't just save you because he wanted to use you. God saved you because he wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you. That's why God saved you. That's why God brought you here. That's why God has you in his presence this morning. Because God wants to spend time with you. Why did God create man in the beginning anyway? For fellowship. For fellowship. He wanted to spend time with man. He wants to spend time with you. Why did he provide a way of salvation? Because fellowship had been broken because of sin, and God wanted to mend the fellowship. See, God saved you because he wants to be with you. He brought them first and ordained them first. Why? That they should be with him. Because everything that we're going to do for man and with man must be preceded by time with God. Because I can't make a difference in my coworker's life if I've not spent time with God. I can't make a difference in my family's life if I've not spent time with God. I have got to spend time with God so that God can show me what he would have me to do to make a difference in the lives of others. I've got to spend time with God so I can learn how to have the love of God to take that love and share it with this world. I've got to spend time with God to get some grace from God so I can go and show grace to this lost and dying world. I've got to spend time with God so I can have some joy and peace, because I'm going to go into a world that's going to beat me up and it's going to battle and it's going to scar me, and I got to have some joy and peace about it. I'm not going to get it from the world. And it's the same way in your life. Each and every one of us, if we're going to do anything for God, we must spend time first with God. He says, go back to Matthew 4, verse 19. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me first. So I want to ask you, Christian, have you been following God? Have you been following God? This week, did you follow God? This morning, you're in church, yes. Are you here because you're wanting to follow God? I would hope so. Have you read your Bible? By the way, that's a sure sign that you're following God. Have you read your Bible? Have you spent time in prayer? Are we following God? Because the only way we're going to make a difference in this world is we've got to spend time with God. We cannot do the things for God, and we cannot do the things that God wants us to do without first spending time with Him. You see, I cannot be the husband that God wants me to be to my wife if I'm not spending time with God. I cannot be the father that God wants me to be to my children if I'm not spending time with God. I cannot be the employee that God wants me to be. I cannot be the pastor that God wants me to be. This applies to every one of us. We cannot be the Christian that we want to be if we're not spending time with God. You see, we're going to go to a world that's going to beat us up and going to chew us up and going to spit us out. And if we don't have any strength from God, we're not going to make it. We've got to spend time with God. God called the 12 to Him first. They came unto Him. He ordained them that they would first be with Him. Don't miss that truth this morning. The principle here is we've got to spend time with God. It must be Christ first, and then people. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'll show you the verse. Another verse. Just came to my mind. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. Talking about all things created by God. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The very next verse, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Then notice the last phrase, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The word preeminence is a big word. Go back to Matthew 4. It's a big word that means first place. God wants first place in your life. He wants first place. It's God and then everything else. That's the order that God has given us. The teenagers heard a great message at youth conference this past month in August when we went to Walls, Mississippi. The whole message was Genesis 1:1. The first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of your life, in the beginning of your decisions, in the beginning of your marriage, in the beginning of your relationships, in the beginning of your job, God. In the beginning of everything you do, God ought to have first place. God ought to have first place. This is the principle here. He says, follow me. By the way, that's a choice we must make. And we'll get to that in a minute. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The question then must be risen, what does God have for me? Well, God has for you the very same thing he has for me. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to spend time with us. Because if he can spend time with you, then you're going to learn the call of God. You're going to learn the heartbeat of God, and you'll go and do the work of God. Because you spent time with God. We see the passage. It says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We see the principle, and that is everything that we do in life for men and with men must be preceded by our time with God. Then thirdly, I want you to notice the priority. The priority. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. By the way, Jesus didn't have to tell them twice to follow me. He had enough unction. He had enough authority. He had enough of a testimony in their lives to for them to realize this is the Son of God. This guy is different. And I ought to listen to what he has to say. The priority is this. Following Christ and fishing for men. Following Christ and fishing for men. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, let me explain to you here. These guys were already fishermen. Am I right or wrong? Right? They were already fishermen. So, as a fisherman, they were to catch fish who were living. Alright, you don't want to catch a dead fish. You want to catch a live fish, right? You catch a living fish, and what do? You cast it to the side for it to die. Right? Because then you're going to cut it open, you're going to clean it, you're going to cook it, you're going to eat it. Or for them, they're going to sell it. And somebody else could get needed. But what would they do? They would catch living fish. Now don't miss this. They would catch living fish and cast them to the side to die. Jesus Christ said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of man. That literally means, the Bible says, God has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God wants to use us to go to a lost and a dying world to catch those who are dying or dead in their trespasses and sin and wants to give them new life. You see, it's the very opposite. You see, when you fish for fish, you catch something living and you kill it so you can eat it. When we fish for men, we're catching something that's dying. And we're giving them a new life in Christ. Don't miss that truth. That is the priority. The priority is they are dying. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. People all around us are dying. And if they don't trust Christ as their personal Savior, they are going to split hell wide open. They're on their way there right now. They are dying. They are living in their sins. Ephesians chapter 2, number 1. And you who are dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says. They are dead in their sins right now. They are dying. Many of them don't even know it. They're trying to fill the void that they have in their life with drugs and with alcohol. And many of them trying to fill the void they have for any kind of acceptance with sex and promiscuity. All kinds of different things in their lives. They're trying to fill the void they have, not understanding that the void is in the shape of Jesus Christ. You can go to it and read it later. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, everybody's got a void in their life. But the only puzzle piece that'll fit that void is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And we have got to take that message to a lost and a dying world because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. And so we are not taking someone who is living and casting them to the side to die like a regular fisherman would. No, we're taking someone who is dying and we're trying to breathe into them to new life. We're trying to give them a life in Jesus Christ and give them a life that is worth living for. We need to understand the priority that God has given us. Don't miss that truth. Jesus called them to fish for men who were dead already, and he wanted to make them alive through himself. We are to give life to those who need it. And when we go through the motions of door knocking and inviting people to church just because it's expected of us, then we miss the priority. The priority is when you knock on somebody's door and you're inviting them to church, that could be the only opportunity they get to receive Jesus Christ. That's why we leave a track with them if nobody answers. There have been many people that have come home and they've gotten a track left on their door. And they've gone inside and they've read that track. My wife and I grew up in a church where the pastor was saved because somebody left a track on his truck. Don't underestimate the effect that leaving a gospel message somewhere does in the heart and life of somebody. That is the priority. The highest calling for any Christian is to win souls. That's why we have a Fall Harvest campaign. It's to reach the lost and dying with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dr. Lee Robertson, a great preacher of the faith, he's in heaven now. He said that most Christians do more witnessing to the lost in the first 6 months of being a Christian than any other time in their life. The first 6 months. Why? Because they're excited about what God has done in their life and they want to share that with others. Well, let me ask you a question. Why'd you lose the excitement? Could it be that we stopped following God? Could it be that we stopped spending time with God? Because Jesus Christ called the disciples first to be with him. And then he sent them forth. You see, when we go through the motions of this Christian life all on our own, we try to live this Christian life all by ourselves without the power of God, you're not going to make it. You're not going to. Because this world is a master. This world's a master. Got a lot of slaves in it. This world's a master at ruining lives. And if we go at this world without the power of God and without the armor of God that's listed in Ephesians chapter number 6, then we're going to get destroyed. Yes, I understand that greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. I understand that. But we've got to be able to claim that power. How do we claim the power? We've got to spend time with God. We've got to spend time with God. The priority is following Christ. Why? So we can fish for men. If I'm not following God, then I'm not going to fish for men like I should. If I'm not following God and I'm not spending time with God, I'm not going to have a burden for the lost like I should. And by the way, as you go out door knocking, as you go witnessing, as you share the gospel message with others, you'll continue to develop a burden for the lost. We see the passage. We see the principle. We see the priority. Now, the progression. Number four, the progression. As we follow Christ, he will make us a fisher of man. Listen, this is very elementary. We're just breaking down the scriptures here. He says, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. As we follow Christ, he molds us. Jeremiah chapter 18, you can write it down, look it up later. Just like the clay on the potter's wheel. He molds us and he shapes us into what he wants us to become. And as long as we are following him, he'll do a work in our lives. Verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? Straightway left their nets and followed him. This is the progression. If we are not fishers of men, it's because he did not make us a fisher of man. Isn't that what it says? He says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of man. If we are not a fisher of man, it's because he did not make us a fisher of man, right? That's what the Bible says. Don't miss your Bible when you read your Bible. Now, if he did not make us a fisher of man, it's because we're not following. There's a progression. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of man. So the end result, you're taking geometry. You're learning to state the premise and you come to the conclusion. The joys, right? In order to get to the conclusion, we're going to work our way back to what the premise was. In order to get from the premise to the conclusion, we've got to work our way forward. The equation is the same way no matter how you state it. If we follow Christ, He will make us a fisher of man. If we're fishing for men, it's because He has made us that because we are following Him. All right? We have the premise, we have the conclusion. It has to be in the middle as well. He has to do the making. So if we are not fishing for men, there's a disconnect somewhere in the first two. Either He has not made us, and if He's not made us a fisher of man, it's because we're not following. There's got to be a proof of it. He says, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of man. If I'm not talking to people about Jesus Christ, then I'll tell you it's because my relationship with Christ is not where it should be. We talk about things we're proud of, correct? Our children make good grades. We brag about our children, right? We talk about our children because we're proud of them. Our children score points in a game. Our children do these different things. And we take all these pictures that are on our phones and we show off all these pictures. And we go through 700 of them like my wife does because we can't find out which picture it is because we take so many. Yes. But why do we take so many? Because we're proud of our children. We go on different places and my children are like, another picture? Really? Yes, we're making memories. Pictures. We share those things with others. Why? Because we're proud of those things. We talk about sports. We share our favorite team. Or sometimes our team loses. We don't want to talk about it. Amen. Because we're not proud of it. Hey, praise Him. We talk about certain things that we're proud of. Sometimes we refuse to talk about things that we're embarrassed about. So, let's apply that to Christianity. If we're not talking about Christ, could it be we're embarrassed about Him? Not necessarily embarrassed about Him. Maybe we're embarrassed about our relationship with Him. Maybe we're embarrassed because we're not where we should be spiritually. He says, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of man. This is the progression. If I'm not talking to people about Jesus Christ, it's because my relationship with God is not what it should be. You see, I don't go uptown talking to random women. I have a wife. My relationship with my wife is very well what it should be. I don't find my time investing in other women because I have a wife. Does that make sense? Our relationship is right. It's going to continue to be right. We're not going to run off to some other person. My wife doesn't fill her time talking to all these other men. No, because we have communication. We have conversations. Our relationship is what it should be. With our children, we have a relationship with our children. Our children don't go and get advice from everybody else in the world. They come to mom and dad to get advice. Why? Because we have relationships with them. It's the same way in our relationship with God. Many times we make serving God so difficult and so unattainable. But God's very simplistic. Hold your place here. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Find the verse popping in my head. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. There's nothing difficult about the Christian life. Okay? Let me explain. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. It says, but I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled or confused Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the, notice the word, simplicity that is in Christ. It's a simple thing to serve God. If you do what He says, He will do what He said He would do. If you don't do what He says, then He won't do what He said He would do. Because you're not going to have the promises to claim. It's very, very simple. God does not hide Himself from us. God does not make serving Him difficult at all. You see, if we're not sharing Jesus Christ with other people, the simple truth is we're embarrassed about our relationship with God. It is not what it should be. Maybe we're not sharing Jesus with others because we don't have Jesus to begin with. Because you can't share what you don't have. I like candy. I don't like to share my candy, but I will share my candy from time to time. The other night, we were laying at the house. I had eaten all of Hannah's candy. I know. What a father. Terrible. Gummy worms. My weakness. They were in a jar, and I'd eat them. And Hannah asked me before we laid down for bed. She said, "Daddy, will you eat some candy with me?" I said, "Yeah, sure, we'll eat some candy." I love those words. It's wonderful when your child takes after you, you know? Great things. She said, "Daddy, will you eat some candy with me?" "Yes, I'll eat some candy with you. What do you want to eat?" And Mom's over here. "You need to go brush your teeth." I said, "We'll do that in a minute. We're going to eat some candy first." Praise the Lord. She said, "I want some gummy worms." I said, "Oh." She looks at me, and she just drops her mouth. I said, "We don't have any more gummy worms." She's like, "You ate my candy." I'm sorry. But you know what? I couldn't share what I didn't have. I didn't have it. It's that way in the Christian life as well. If you ain't got Jesus, you can't share Jesus. It's very, very simple. If you don't have the love of God in your life, you can't share the love of God with the world. It's very, very simple. We've got to have the one that we are willing to share. If we don't have it, we can't share it. So that means I need some candy. So somebody pray with me about that. I'm just kidding. I told Hannah, I said, "We'll get some candy. We'll share it together sometime." She said she would hide it from me next time. Moving on. We see the passage. We see the principle. We see the priority. We see the progression. Lastly, the potential. The potential. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." What did they do? "And straightway left their nets and followed him." Notice what happens in verse 21. We're in Matthew 4 again. "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them." That means he gave them the same call. "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So he saw two brothers, James and John. They were with their father Zebedee. Is that what the Bible says? "In a ship with Zebedee their father. And they immediately," verse 22, "left the ship and their father and followed him." James and John made a choice to serve God. They made a choice to follow Jesus Christ. Zebedee never made that choice. He never made that choice. There's going to be some people that you can reach, and there's going to be some people that you can make a difference in their lives. It's their choice to allow that. There's going to be other people. You can invite them and you can invite them and you can give them the gospel message, and they're going to continue to reject it. Understand, they're not rejecting you. Zebedee didn't denounce his children. He just chose not to follow Jesus. They rejected Jesus. James and John served Jesus Christ. Their father chose not to. By the way, young people, regardless of what your parents choose to do, you've got a choice to make too. We have two young people that chose to follow God. And by the way, John was the youngest of the disciples. And he still willingly chose to follow God. He could have stayed home, but he didn't. Parents, you've got a choice. Regardless of what your children do, you've got a choice. Regardless of what your spouse does, you've got a choice. But understand, the potential that God has for us is limitless. The potential is limitless. What'd they do? Straightway they left their nets and they followed him in verse 20. They went on from there. Jesus sees two other people, and what's he do? He calls them. And what happens? Two more begin to follow him. And then what happens? Look at verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people." And what happened? "And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic." Hey, that may be some of us. Amen. "And those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people." Sorry about that. "There followed him great multitudes of people." It wasn't just four people anymore. The potential was limitless. You see, God's potential in your life is immeasurable. God wants to do great things in your life. But the choice is yours. The choice is mine. How is God going to do great things? Well, we've got to spend some time with Him. We've got to spend some time with Him. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And He taught them how to reach people. And what happens? Great multitudes followed from where? From Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. People from all over came. Why? Because some people spent some time with Jesus. Because some people spent time with Jesus. This is a simple truth. If you follow God, God will make you a fisher of man. But if you're not following, you're not going to be fishing. It's very, very simple. And if you're not fishing, it's because you're not following. If we're not witnessing for Christ the way that we should be, it's because we're not spending time with God. Why did God save you? First, to be with Him. First, to be with Him. The conclusion is this. Well, let me give you the rest of the potential here. It's immeasurable. The sky's the limit. Our church could grow by leaps and bounds, but it's only when we grow in our relationship with Christ. I've stressed it now for the last several weeks. This is why we're doing a discipleship course on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. For growth. Personal growth. Why? Because when we grow, we'll go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we change in our hearts, when we get closer to God, when we follow God like He told us to, then God will mold us and shape us into the soul where He wants us to be. And we won't have a problem at all witnessing for Jesus Christ. The conclusion is this. We're not fishing for men like we should because we're not following Christ like we should. You see, as you get excited about your relationship with God, then your burden for the lost grows. Because if God can make the difference in your life that He has made, then you want to go share that change with somebody else. And you want to share that change. Look, listen, if God did this for me, and I know what I was, if God did this for me, God could change you too. Because you ain't half as bad as I was. Some of us use that testimony. Amen. I understand. God may have saved some people out of some deep pits. But God saved every one of us from a deep pit. Because we were all headed that way. Amen. We're all headed that way. Just because you didn't get saved out of a life of sin did not mean God didn't save you from that life of sin. Because you could have very well done that. You could have very well ended up there if God didn't save you as soon as you got saved. But as our relationship with God grows, our burden for the lost will then grow. Why? Because we'll begin to see people the way God sees people. As those who are lost and needing Christ. We live in a town a little over 18,000. McAllister's the hub for all the surrounding cities. People from Hartshorn, Haleyville, Krebs. You got Alderson. You got Canadian. You got Crowder. You got Arpaler and Haywood. You got Kiowa and Savannah. You got all the little nooks and crannies. Tannehill. You got Indianola. All these different places around us. And you know what? Everybody comes to McAllister. God's given us a potential. So why is it that we don't see people saved? Could it be because we're not following? Very simple. Could it be because we're not following God like we should? Because if we're following, He'll mold us and shape us. And we'll become a fisher of man. But it comes back to our choice. Have we chosen to follow God? Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. The pianist is going to come. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you stand with me. I do have a question to ask. We've talked a lot about following God this morning. We've talked a lot about fishing for man and the need that we have in our society because of the world that is around us. And maybe this morning you may not be following simply because you've never made a choice to follow God. I want to ask you this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. I want to ask you a question. The question is this. If you died today, right now, if you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Or do you have doubt about that? Can you go back to a time and place in your life where you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Or would you have doubt about that? You say, Brother Terry, I don't know if I'm saved. I have a little bit of doubt. I'm not sure. Would you raise your hand? Brother Terry, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I see a hand up. God bless you. You can put your hand down. I'm not sure. If you're not sure, you can come this morning. We've got some altar workers that can talk with you. We've got some altar workers that can share a truth with you. I want to show you how you can follow God. The rest of you, you didn't raise your hand. I'm going to assume that there's been a time and place in your life where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior already. So I have a question for you as well, and the question is this. If you've trusted God, if you've began following Christ, my question is this, why are you not fishing like you should? Why are we not sharing the gospel like we should? How many of you say, somewhere in that message, Brother Terry, God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Somewhere in that message, God spoke to my heart. Hands all over the room. You can put them down. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. I pray that you'd continue.